Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
We're sports show radio hosts.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Can't pick a worse song. I think of John Travolta in that movie where
I do too every time.
Had that thing,
it's
and he's got the.
Right?
I got the oversized cabbages, but I don't know how I grow. You know, 463 times 7
okay.
Plus the square root
it's
of things.
It's the Travolta movie.
It just comes to me.
I watched that.
I bought all your chairs
in its entirety the other night. I like that movie.
It's a cute movie. It's a great movie. Who's the black guy's friend? Forrest Whitaker.
Hold
right?
on.
Forrest Whitaker's phenomenal in this movie. Robert Duvall.
It's not that bad, is it?
The song sucks. The movie's better than the song.
Ooh. And let me tell you something else. Kira Sedgwick with her fastball.
Get some lip injections.
Turn up, T-Bone.
She got those lips for plates. She's like a frog.
Don't talk that way about Mrs. Kevin Bacon. How dare you?
Is that her?
Yeah.
She's getting footloose, huh?
I don't know what that means. I just know that there are some unfortunate soundtrack moments in Phenomenon. Sheryl Crow, Every Day is a Winding Road,
yep.
When he's driving
every
down the road.
Is that
when he's got the stick and all of a sudden he's looking and there's a fault line right there because my hands are starting to shake. Right? Those stupid chairs he bought. Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, it's not a stick. I don't think he's out there with a divining rod. He's out there because he senses an earthquake is coming.
Whew. No, that dude had it going for a while, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Turns out just tumor. Brain cloud. All right.
All right, ready? Yeah, I'm ready to go. These are ideas to change sports.
Matt Porter, change for the better. Globe reporters share their ideas to improve sports.
Okay.
All right.
I like that. I like the premise.
All right. So let's start with an NFL one.
Yep.
Switch to high-tech first down markers.
What? What does that even mean?
Are the current ones not working?
Well, the whole idea of moving the markers up and down with the chain and then, you know, the ref calling for the markers to come out because, well, I'm standing right here and I see where the marker is and I see where the ball is, but why don't you come out here because, you know, it's more dramatic to, you know, hold your hands up and do stuff like that.
Yeah, the defense goes nuts when you hold them. No.
One of the recommendations says, out on this, too complicated. Chip-based or video solution that would just measure the spot and then keep the game moving. At the very least, we can keep the chains as chip-based. A visual marker, but there's no need for them to trot onto the field.
Trot out to the field. They still have to place the ball down. What's going to inform them of where to place the ball?
How are you going to put a chip in a ball? It looks like a damn football. It looks like a canary diamond. And what if you don't have a chip in a point that's actually going over the line? And what if the points are pointing towards the sideline and you don't have a chip in the edge of the ball?
Another stupid one. I will say, though, they are they've started to integrate them, and it's going to be even more available to teams. They're putting more chips in the footballs that will be able to graph everything on the field for analytics purposes.
See, I think that would
tell the arc of a pass, the speed of a pass, all kinds of different stuff.
Oh, exit velocity. Nice.
Yeah, teams will be able to use after a game. So, but no, not in-game stuff. No.
Here's where I'd like the chip technology. Over top of the goalpost if you don't have tall enough goalposts.
That's where, to me, is a worthwhile venture. Yes.
That's it. That's where you can entertain, I think, the thought of that. Next one.
All right. NBA and NHL. play, and this isn't a rule change, this is just an idea.
That's okay.
Play
yeah.
rivalry teams on back-to-backs. Teams play a certain of Friday, Saturday, or Saturday, Sunday sets. NBA and NHL teams play back-to-backs, so why not do it with the same team?
In hockey, I feel like it makes sense.
Are you talking about a home away, or is it home-home?
Like you know, like the home-and-home with the Canadians. Like, that sounds great.
Yeah.
But the problem is you're probably better off when you're talking about rivals, like in the NBA. I'd rather
Lakers, what are you going to fly back and forth?
You know, it's just not even that, because they'd be, I'm guessing it'd be the same conference is what they're going to probably angle for.
Yeah.
I don't know that. I'm just throwing it out there.
I'll say it's Miami.
It happens.
Right, say it's Miami. But either way, don't you want to let teams get pissed off for a while before they play each other again?
Yeah.
You'd
I think
know.
So.
I think in hockey it would be good. You know, there are certain times in hockey where something happens in a game, you're like, oh, they're not going to get them back in this game. It's too close, or they've got too much of a lead or something.
Right.
You would like to see some scores settled the next day as opposed to waiting a month.
Yeah.
And then but at that point, you kind of forget about it. Players don't, but I do.
Yep.
All right. Moving on. Major League Baseball. Add practice squads and fines for slow play. They do it in every other sport, so why not baseball? Would you rather have a roster where only 22 of the 25 guys are going? Teams have more flexibility. What's the downside? And encourage players to move it along.
Practice squad.
What?
The dumbest idea I've ever heard.
0-4
Who came up with that?
Install a taxi squad so the dinged up players or yesterday's heavily used pitchers can be kept out of the loop.
You know what we're going to have here as we end up getting more further down this list for sports, how to fix sports? How about
so
not
stupid.
Read the Globe? How about don't read the Globe?
No, I'm not advocating that. I'm just saying, wait a minute. Practice squad, how do you develop players if they're sitting on a practice squad? Minor leaguers, you can call up and down, right? He's playing every day. He's getting real game reps at AAA or AA. And then you get called up and you play. And if you're not playing, what do they do with those players? We've seen it before. We got to send this guy back down because he's not getting enough at-bats. He's not getting any real live playing time. So practice squad doesn't help you. Doesn't help you. Now, if you're saying expanded rosters for bullpens or for pitcher, I don't know. I guess I could get on board with that. But get out of here with your practice squad. No.
Okay, so Beetle is
silly.
Out on practice squad.
Out.
All right. Relegation. Relegation is...
I don't know what that name means.
Never going to happen here, but it's exciting if it
were to happen. It is exciting. Gives every team in every sport a reason to try. So there's no more tanking. And this is Matt Porter's column again in the Globe. Gives owners a reason to improve. Imagine the fun in the NHL, the NBA, the MLB, or the SEC and the ACC, where teams are relegated if they do not perform. That'd be fun.
SEC-ACC one is interesting.
Right? It's obvious you're not good enough to be in this league, so guess what? You're not in this league anymore. Or you're not in this conference anymore.
That, to me, is one that could actually, like, feasibly happen. The other ones, not so much.
Mm. All right. Moving on. Now we have some more from other writers at the Globe.
Okay. All right. Very good.
Which, by the way, I will not be stopping home delivery of anytime soon because I finally got the dog to actually get the paper.
She nice.
Oh, bull crap. You're so full of
nice.
It. You video that. I want to see it.
All right.
Do you pick up the paper, put it in its mouth, or does the dog go out and get the paper?
I just like to state for the record, I am a digital subscriber. Thank you.
All right. Dan Shaughnessy. Where's Dan Shaughnessy? Something needs to be done about the tag plays at second and third base. Replay has made these stupid. We watch over and over to see if the obviously safe base runner might have lost contact with the bag for a millisecond while the fielder keeps the tag on the runner just in case. It's not the spirit of the rule. The man is safe. Leave him alone.
No more.
I like the rule.
No more holding the ball on the runner?
No, you should be able to. That's part of the game.
If you slip off the bag for a second, for a millisecond, and someone applies a tag, he's saying, no, he's safe. He got there. Leave it be.
So if you overslide second base, but you got there and you were safe, you don't get called out by overshooting the bag.
Correct. You have
no,
to.
You should be. You got to control yourself.
But yeah, by a, like a fraction of an inch and hey, a
rules
millisecond
rules,
off the bag.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm with him. It's not the spirit of the rule. This is drastic. He says,
here's what I don't think you should have to do. You shouldn't have to call timeout to stand up with the bag. Like, that's what happens. Guy gets the second.
He pop
looks,
right up.
He has to lay on the bag, look to the ump, get the umpire to stop play, yep, put the hands up, and then he can get up. And if he doesn't do that, he's got a guy who's holding a baseball to his chest, waiting for his foot to come off the bag for the simple act of standing up. That, to me, is a waste of time that could come to an end. That would be a middle ground on that, Artie. Middle ground.
Shaughnessy also says, all hockey should be 4-on-4, plus goalies. And then he says, overtime should be 3-on-3.
The best thing he's ever written.
Overtime already is 3-on-3. But I think he means all the time, even in the playoffs. Yeah.
Thanks, Mr. Hockey.
4-on-4, and then make overtime 3-on-3, even in the postseason.
I don't hate it.
3-on-3 overtime hockey is fantastic.
Yes.
So good. All right, you want Ben Volans now or you want him after the break?
Tease you know it. What? Why don't you hang on to that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it football related? Is it all the sports that they cover?
It is football related, and okay. Then we also have them from Tara Sullivan and Pete Abraham and others.
Sweet all legs. Right. Nice.
We'll do that coming up next.
They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. It's he got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
In a little tent. Oh, and just like the river I've been running.
All right, more suggestions. What do we got, Hardy?
It's a good song choice.
Why we play Sam Cooke?
No, I think that's what Sam Cooke was thinking of when he wrote this song.
What?
Changes in sports. That's it. Here we go.
Yep.
Ben Volans says, I'd do away with the requirement for 2 games against each division opponent. 1 game a year against the Jets, Bills, and Dolphins is more than enough. I want to see more AFC versus NFC games. I don't hate it.
The problem is the division is valid.
I give him thumbs up. I give him thumbs up.
Notion.
I give him a thumbs up. I like it.
To have all these teams have to play each other twice.
Good job, little Ben.
If you're going to do that, then you should probably just scrap divisions altogether.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think now that we're going to a unbalanced number of games, I think that might be the way to go. I've generally been against that. I thought the NFL had this all figured out, but they've already ruined it. So what the hell?
What the hell?
This is a good one from Tara Sullivan.
I know. I just didn't have anything to say. What the hell?
Yeah, just
there's going to be a lot of that coming up.
Yep, May 18th. Tara Sullivan is a good one. Yeah. Why do they allow NFL players to wear yellow gloves in games? Ban the yellow gloves. They look too much like penalty flags. At the very least, ban them for wide receivers and cornerbacks. Yes.
Seems like an easy one to achieve. I have too.
And you're telling me a player has never been fooled by it? Now, these guys are all professionals playing at the highest level. You play to the whistle.
Sure.
Not always they don't. You think you
no,
see
I'm,
a flag
I'm with
sometimes.
That. That's one that could be put in place tomorrow.
Right,
and,
right.
Like, no more of that. Stop wearing yellow gloves. Not allowed.
No black shoes either.
Why?
Teams look slow. Slow and black. All white shoes. Billy White Shoes Johnson.
She also says... find an equal distribution process for throwing the red challenge flag. Watching coaches tug at their waistband socks or belt loops doesn't make for good TV. I kind of like it.
Disagree. Makes for great TV.
Makes for great TV. Belichick, you know, he's got that gray rumpled sock with his hairy leg. And he's reaching down and one's up and one's and he can't fall. Oh, it's the wrong leg. And then he can't get the rain pants down back over it.
Right.
It's halfway. It looks like he's
and while
he's
down
in
there,
a gang.
Gives it a good,
right.
Gives it a good scratch because the ankle skin is all dry and flaky.
Then, then he's so pissed off, he just underhands the thing, like, right at the ref. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. That's a good one.
Pete Abraham says, I'm opposed to banning infield shifts. Okay, I didn't think they were going to do that. Oh, but mandating at least 2 infielders on either side of second base until a pitch is released would be a reasonable compromise. I don't care about the infield shift.
You're thinking too much baseball, Pete. Stop. Yeah.
You care about the infield shift, Beetle?
Nope.
I don't care that much about it, but if
he's
I were to change
good hitter,
something,
yoke it the other way.
I think it would probably be better to put two guys on each side of second base if you're going to eliminate them.
All right, so you agree with
it's me. Not a bad it's not a bad idea, but I wouldn't start with the you have to wait until the you know pitch is thrown or it crosses the plate like we're trying to steal a base in Little League. No, just you want a field. Well, I understand what he's saying though, because you know what? Then you're going to want to make a play on a ball that's hit up the middle. So yeah, right. That would be the way to word it. So wait, he just described the rule change for getting rid of the shifts, while also saying he wants the shifts to stay.
He's saying he doesn't want to ban the infield shift, but mandate that two infielders on either side of second base until the pitch is released. That would be okay.
Okay, well, that's banning the shift, though. So he just described what banning the shift would look like. And I don't think it would be a bad rule change. I think it could lead to more offense. So I'm not against it. Weird.
All right. Adam Himmelsbach, who's a Celtics beat writer, has an NFL idea. Move the NFL extra points farther back.
Ooh, you could kick a 50-yard field goal for 4 points.
And Thanks, Wiggy. He says, add a 3-point conversion that's a 50-yard Hail Mary.
Oh, okay. Now we're getting silly.
Okay, so he didn't know about this assignment until 45 seconds before deadline, and he had to get that one.
Yeah, I would not be in favor of that.
Alex Spear, he's got a fun one. Connect free agent eligibility to when a player signs his first pro contract rather than when he's called up to the big leagues in order to allow players to reach free agency in their primes rather than after it.
Okay, run that by me one more time. So he wants guys to be free agents earlier.
Connect free agent eligibility to when a player signs his first pro contract rather than when he's called up to the big leagues.
So major league service time would go away is what he's describing.
Yes.
You sign your contract at 18, you get X amount of years regardless of how much you play at the major league level. So yes. You might spend 4 years in the minors, you play 1 year, you're still 5 years in, even if you've only played a season at the major league level. I don't hate that. I think owners would be very much against it.
Oh,
I know
yeah.
John Henry has talked about sort of the way they pay players in baseball is backwards. You could fix it, baseball, but my guess is you don't want to because you don't want to pay the young players. Right now you've got a way to keep those salaries down, and so you're not going to voluntarily offer yourself up more money. But it is. You do pay for past performance in baseball. That is true.
All right. Michael Silverman wants essentially robot umpires for balls and strikes, you know, using technology.
Sure.
Kevin Paul DuPont.
Does anybody have shorter games, like 7-6 innings?
Kevin Paul DuPont has about 7 paragraphs on something to do with icing, I've read it twice, and I...
We'll skip that.
We're going to skip
that. I'd like to see DuPont
one.
DuPont Spear in like a naked wrestling match.
But
let them
you know
just
what?
Kill each
DuPont,
other.
DuPont's he's coming from a good place. He wants more offense in the NHL. Okay. He's not some stodgy, you know, fuddy-duddy about it, but the whole icing explanation another time. We'll do that on May 17th. I don't know if you heard this. No one goes anywhere for 3 more weeks.
Right.
Chad Finn, the NBA needs to widen its courts, and they should have done it 3 years ago.
I like that.
Right?
I
like that.
The
yeah,
width
I mean,
of NBA courts, which are 50 feet right now, it's just that the NBA needs to move back the three-point line to correct the math and aesthetics of the game, and it's impossible to extend the line in the corners without widening the court.
Is it bigger than Olympics? Is that the Olympics or world basketball it's bigger in? Or Europe?
So you widen corners. The court by 3 feet on each side and move the three-point line back 2 feet.
Oh. Oh. Let it rain.
So the three-pointer becomes more of a challenging shot, and you've got a little more room down there in the corners to hit that baseline three.
So if you're going to change the width of a court, and what is FIBA's size court currently? How wide is their court? I'm going to look that up.
It's pretty wide, I think. Yeah.
So it's wider?
I remember watching, whether it was Europe basketball or whether it was the you know, the
NBA
the Olympics.
Is 94 by 50. FIBA is 92 by 50.
Yeah. It's actually 49.21 feet is the FIBA court. It's actually smaller. Here's what I would say should happen, and that is you've got to go to a universal court for everybody is what I would suggest. Get everybody on board with the same size court and then go from there. I think it's probably time. The game has evolved. The athletes have changed. And more space on the side of the court would be a good thing, not a bad thing. I'm with that. That's a good suggestion. It's going to take a huge change to get it done, though.
Yeah.
Because I would try and get on the same, size.
Smaller seats in arenas now.
FIBA is what I would do. Make it universal.
Shrink the seats.
Make it bigger.
More.
Is that it, Hardy?
That's it.
All right, 617-779-0985. Some suggestions for changes in sports. We'll get back to your calls. Today's takeaways at 150.
How important is the opinion of a former NFL quarterback on other sports?
I don't think it's that important as people think it is. It's not as important as you think.
Zolak and Bertrand. It's the important part of your workday on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Is the phone number. Let's go to your phones, John and Quincy on UFOs. Hi, John.
Hey, guys.
John.
You had an earlier conversation about alien technology. First off, thank you guys so much for being on the radio, for everything you do, the entertainment. Really helps out. But to my point, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the movie Men in Black. They
yes,
actually
of course.
A lot of the
classic.
Mythos.
Yes.
And there's a lot of things from that movie, including the organization, the Men in Black themselves, which comes from, I guess you would call it UFO conspiracy theory.
Sure.
And so as far as your earlier caller's point, if you remember, and bear with me, it might get a little crazy here, but bear with me.
You're one of the truth seekers? Are you into all this?
Are you not a truth seeker? Are you a lie seeker? Come on, Zoe.
Okay.
Wound up.
Go ahead. All right.
So anyways, I'm sorry.
All right, John. Easy.
Again, bear with me here.
All right.
Do you all not agree? Do you not think that Sarge looks just like the alien wearing the human skin suit?
I knew it, sir.
I like him.
John, how's it going, buddy?
Hi, John.
Okay. Sugar. Sugar and water.
He's wearing an Egger suit.
Hello, Kim. Why don't you come in? Have some coffee.
And he takes over human body, so he doesn't quite fit into it. He's got the limp.
Sugar. Thank you all, and please take your order.
Where do you work? The Polish restaurant? Was it the Polish restaurant he's working at?
Oh, yeah. The well, they ordered pierogi, yeah.
Yeah, ordered pierogi.
I knew it was John in Vegas. I knew it. You just tell by the voice.
Sugar. Water.
That was what's his name from Law and Order Criminal Intent? Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yes.
Who looks like
he?
Matt Rule. Yeah,
wasn't
we've talked about this.
He's Pyle.
He Pyle?
Yes.
He's Pyle from Gomer Pyle.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, that was Vincent D'Onofrio.
Hey, Joker.
Who looks just like Matt Rule.
Yep.
Oh, man. That's
I watched
stuff.
Him over the weekend, too, on Skype. Matt Rule.
Who, Matt he's, Rule?
Yeah, he's his hair's grown a little. He just sits there and stares at that camera. He's got that look about him. A little crazy. Yeah.
Joe.
We're getting there.
Joe in Salisbury. Hey, Joe.
Yeah, how you doing?
Well, hey. We're okay.
Oh, we're great. How are you?
Well, we're all getting by this whole thing. I've got two quick suggestions for baseball.
Okay.
The first one would be that every pitch the pitcher pitches is considered a strike or a ball. So if he tries to throw somebody out at first base.
Well, kind of like it is now, right? Yeah.
No.
But
if he throws the first one, is that a strike?
Oh, wait a minute. So you're saying if you throw out the stroke, throw the first, that counts as a strike or ball?
Correct.
Okay.
Well, how would you decide what it counts for?
If you get him out.
It would count as a ball because he didn't cross the plate. So that would be my first suggestion. The second suggestion to speed up baseball would be to count every foul ball as a strike. So if the person has two strikes against him and they hit a foul,
keep it in play. Right.
I like that. I hate that rule. I hate that idea.
That's the best rule I've heard today.
You should be rewarded for fouling off pitches and keeping a batted lie, an at-batted lie alive. That is, wow. I don't know why I struggled with that, but I did. No, you foul a pitch off and you strike out? No, that's not fair. That's not good. I don't like that at all.
I like it. You didn't put the ball in play. You're out. Yeah, you've had enough chances. You've seen 12 pitches already. Yeah, either you can hit it or you can't.
Here's a good spot for me to bring up that I watched Roger Clemens all of last week on NESN, by the way.
Yeah.
Haven't you guys caught any of these games that they were running? They were running the best of Roger Clemens last week. I've got one minor complaint. First of all, good job by NESN running these games. I thought they've picked out some good material to be rerunning. And so I like that they've done these games. It was great to see them. They condensed them, though, to 2 hours like it was a Sox and two, which I did not appreciate because we've got nothing but time right now, Hardy. And
May 18th.
I'd like to see the Red Sox bat, even if they didn't put up runs. May 18th. They just cut out all the Red Sox at bats. So you'd see three straight innings at times of Roger Clemens pitching. And you're like, okay, this is great, but can I see the guys in the 90s, at bat? And they played the strikeout game in Detroit at the end of his Red Sox career. But they were playing some other stuff from when he was just unbelievable. And the amount of calls he would get that were not strikes was awesome.
Really?
It was awesome.
More so than Pedro?
Oh, yeah. No, you could tell.
But Pedro paid the corners, man.
I mean, man, it was a different world in the 80s. And baseball was obviously much different. And guys like Clemens, the best pitchers, like NBA, the best NBA players get the best calls. The best pitchers were getting the best calls.
Best.
And that would have been squarely Clemens. And there were so many. Any borderline call went his way. And there were pitches.
They didn't have the Amica pitch zone up there, did they?
And Billy Lanny and I were texting during it, of course, because that's right in our wheelhouse. And there was one pitch that was 6 inches out off the plate and at the letters. And Clemens got it. Forget which game. That might have been the Oakland game. And I'm like, and we're like, sit down, you bum. And you're like,
bitch.
That was not even close to being a strike.
It's like at the guy's chin a foot off the plate.
Yeah, the other thing we noticed was that Clemens would knock guys down with pitches routinely, and nobody gave a damn. No one got pissed off, and it happened against top-tier players, too. He knocked down Ricky Henderson. He put one right up at his chin, the first pitch of an at-bat, and Henderson gets knocked down. He didn't get a call to strike. Henderson gets knocked down and gets back in the box and just sort of stares at Clemens like, all right, I see how we're going to play this, and that was it. There was no stepping out, talking trash. Nope, it was like, this is part of the game. The pitchers come up and in, knock down good players, and it was no big deal. It was great. The whole thing was great, especially getting a call that was 6 inches off the plate at the letters. That was ridiculous. And I was like, you know what? You go to these robot umpires, you're not going to get that. I'd like to bring this back. And with two strikes, protect. Protect the plate with two strikes. Open that strike zone up. Open it up. Call everything a strike at this point. Get guys swinging the bat. The game was just played so differently then, and it was an enjoyable product. I enjoyed watching games from 25 years ago or older with Clemens.
You could accomplish a lot of the same thing, Beto, by just with two strikes, having just a different strike zone for that third strike. You could accomplish a lot of the same stuff. You don't have to necessarily, start calling foul balls. With two strikes, a strike, or even calling, balls over to first base. No, just call once you've got two strikes. You better be swinging.
Be
different
swinging.
Strike zone now.
Yeah, you better be looking for a pitch to hit with two strikes because you're down in the hole, and this umpire is going to ring your ass up. And that's the way it used to be. That was when baseball was great. when that was the case, they got to go back to that.
That was baseball.
Like, that sort of human element is a good thing. Oh, well, you know what? If it's a borderline pitch, it should always be a strike. I've advocated that for a long time. Borderline pitches, you even graze that black man, it's a strike. Get up there looking to hit. That's when baseball was great. Today's takeaways will be coming your way next here on Zolak and Bertrand.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub. That's me.
All right, today's takeaway is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Hey, you're sitting at home. May 18th. May 18th, guess what? You're going to keep eating. You're going to get big. No, you're going to get Awaken 180 Weight Loss because you're going to drop the weight. You're sitting on your ass at home anyway. So you might as well drop the weight. Get on a great program that actually works. Check out all the great testimonials, awaken180weightloss.com. They'll coach you up right through your computer, through your phone, through your iPad, you name it, right there. And they'll get your weight down. Summer is coming. We're going to get back to normal soon. We're all in this together. Awaken 180 will help you. All right.
Okay. We've got a few things to get to here.
Get loopy.
Few things to get to, including Scott Zolak today, describing a delicious sandwich that he got on Nantucket, and it was recommended to him by the head coach of the New England Patriots, Bill Belichick.
They wrap it in wax paper, slice on an angle, put it in a white paper bag. You go outside.
It's an angle slice, huh?
That's an angle slice in the paper bag. You've got it adds
Hardy,
the flavor.
Hardy, when you're put that point of that sandwich in your mouth, and you take that first bite, and you get the little cranberry sauce with the extra. You know extra mayonnaise is going to pour out. And it gets all over your mouth, and you lick it, and you're like, oh, my God. Great sandwich. Great way to start a trip to Nantucket. So thank you, Coach, for that one. Now back to the receivers. What this does for us. Hey, Felger. I mean, Felger can back me up on this. I know he's been to Provisions. Right there. It's right there in the harbor, right where the boats come in. The nice thing is they have, like, all these different multi-grain breads.
Do boats come in the harbor? Is that...
Haba. The Nantucket Haba.
The Haba. Oh, yeah. That was funny.
It's right there now, by the fast ferries. Now, back to our talk on Sanu. Yeah.
Yeah. Back to the receivers. That's enough of that sandwich talk, which was nearly a sexual experience. Let's get back to Mohamed Sanu and N'Keal Harry, if we could.
Let's depress ourselves, yeah.
This was Zoe with trouble on a word today related to the draft.
Beating that. I mean, you listen to any draft not nitwit. You listen to beatniks, all these draft guys that have the flair for the draft and understand the draft better than any of us. Not a beatnik. You know what I'm talking about.
No, like reading poetry and smoking cigarettes. Jim, help black me out. Turtleneck?
It's a draft nicks.
Nicks. Draft nicks, yes. It's like Murray's boys down there at Coolidge Corner. Snap City. It's all Murray's friends down at Coolidge Corner. He walks in. Murray walks in.
You like, had boom, it. Boom, boom, the thing boom, is, you boom, had boom, it there. Boom, boom,
boom. Hey, what's
you
up,
had all
Slip?
The pieces.
You cool cat, you.
Yeah. You had all the pieces of
the
word you were looking for.
Remember the episode of Happy Days where Richie almost runs away with the beatniks? He's got the beatnik girlfriend.
I don't remember that one.
Oh, this was...
you know what? If you showed me it, you show me one clip of it, I would remember it.
Yeah, this was an old version. This is like, you know, when they were still on film, I think. You know, like before they went to the, the cheaper looking... Happy Days. I
mean, was this prior to, Chachi's nephew coming along, the Pinky Tuscadero?
Oh yeah, this
and all
is
them?
This yeah. is pre Chachi and all that stuff.
Oh,
this
Chachi.
Was borderline cinema. These episodes of Happy Days, and yeah, he was getting ready to run away with that girl. Richie was going to become a beatnik right along with him.
Huh.
Oh,
that's something.
No, it didn't work out for him though. He came to his senses at the end.
Well, that's good. Happy to hear that about him.
He's got an extended, run of the series out of it. You know,
yeah,
thank
sure.
God.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. Let's get to We have a couple more items to get to. Let's do a teasing of a segment and me describing different calls we had lined up on the board. All right, 617-779-0985. Patriots thoughts. I see a call on the board about the Lakers, UFOs, mayonnaise, all in the mix here. That's the type of day, April 28th.
Yes.
Was.
Yes. Yep.
Murray's up next. He should have some stuff on Duke's mayonnaise.
That apparently he does, because people
does
are
he?
Tweeting us.
Okay.
Yeah, that Good. He would know about it, that he Good. Maybe has a thought on that.
Maybe a recommendation,
so,
sure.
He, you know, with Murray, there's no in between. He either loves it or he hates it.
That's like when this is all done and we get released back into real life. That's like the first place I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go to a real steakhouse, old school bar, where you sit at the bar and they put the white napkin down. They give you a little place setting, get a real martini with a blue cheese stuffed olive and a hell of a steak. Oh, that's where my ass is going when we're released back into society here. That day's coming. Come on, baby.
You're going to a steakhouse where you can eat at the bar.
Yeah. I love
that's
that.
That's not bad. I love that. Yeah.
Slide right in. Nice little space by yourself or maybe with your wife. Yeah.
I'm going to get a haircut. That's the first
My kid cuts my hair now, so I'm not paying for haircuts anymore.
You're lucky.
Look at Beetle. He cuts his own hair. I can see it.
Yeah, it's long and weird.
You should
again.
Play. You if you're looking for fun games, like because I know you're gonna be locked up in there so long, you should play. Hey, let's shave Dad's head day and give real razors to the three boys, and blindfold you and tie you up and see what happens.
And then I'll really need to stop the bleeding.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Oh, Bart Hardy, I gotta get one of them suckers. It is sore, that thing. It stopped bleeding though.
Oh yeah, but you know you're gonna get it again.
I'm gonna hit it again that tomorrow morning. Yeah, as soon as you nick it again.
You shave every day, don't you?
Oh, God, yeah. Wow. New blades every 3 or 4 days, yeah.
What?
Yeah. Get that flex ball, man. Oh, and it's nice when you get a brand new one. It's
you
just,
do
it's
a
baby
new
skin.
Blade like twice a week?
Once a week. Yeah, but once
That's
every 5 days.
That's still a lot.
Yeah, it's still a lot. I've gone days in the summer where, you know, you're doing nothing, and next thing you know, holy crap, I haven't bought a blade, and I'll use the same blade for about 2 months. It doesn't really matter because you can
No wonder you had to get on Cameo. Your razor blade budget is putting you right in the poorhouse.
I know. We're going to raise money on Cameo to get Jim Murray a stick, one of those mic sticks to hold his mic so he doesn't have to hold it in front of him with his hand. Jim Murray is starting to actually morph and look into the like one of the puppets, the Fuppets. Did you guys see Felger yesterday?
Yeah, he has a mustache.
There's some crazy stuff. He's starting to look like, I think his name was Pete, that pushed the veggie and fruit cart in Bronx Tale.
What was his name?
Hey, come here. Colangelo. Your mother, give her the peaches. Yeah, Felger's starting to morph into that.
Well, you know. Let's get to this one final thing. It's Zoe swearing earlier today.
Oh, great. Accident.
Okay, that was 2015. On Cane's mayonnaise. So
four years ago. No. Sorry, Jim, jump that. Jim.
Yeah, jump that, Jim.
Jump it.
Yeah.
What are you
doing?
What are you so angry about?
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. You were very angry.
I should have remembered that. He's just upset with us today. No, I should have remembered that. Jim, jump that.
Were you upset?
Myself.
Were you upset about lying in 2018 or 2015?
Not a lot.
Or this week?
That's kind of twice. I didn't lie this week.
This week was the truth.
Yeah. This week was definitely the truth.
Okay. All right. At least you knew.
Yeah.
At least you remember. Hardy thinks you've lost your mind.
I
think I give him the benefit of the doubt, saying he legitimately.
You know, it's what I want to remember, is really what it is. If I'm interested in it, I'll remember it. If not, it's not that big a deal. I won't remember it, but I'll remember the details of the shipment of it, which is strange.
Okay.
You know?
What do you want to do tomorrow?
I think we're going to have to start getting into some of the yard work stuff.
Oh, you want to talk grass?
I think we should talk some grass, yard prep, things you should plant. Maybe if you got a garden out there for a lot of people and. You're asking about herbs and that stuff, not the stuff that Murray smokes, but real herbs you can put in your food, tomatoes. Time to start getting those going. Let's go.
Gardener Zoe, tomorrow on the show.
All right.
See you then. Bye. Check.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org.